Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Review It Yourself, Defend It Yourself, episode 20. Although, don't tell anybody, I accidentally missed out episode 10. So technically it's 19, but I'm not changing it all now. So it's episode 20, Airborne, the 1993 film, spelt the way the Americans spell Airborne, but we'll get anyway. I've got Jordan and Don from I Seen It podcast. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Hello. Hey, hello.
Thanks
hello.
For having us.
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was supposed to be video, so I'm wearing my Creepshow shirt and my over-the-top hat, but it's just audio, so...
See, I thought it wasn't video, so I'm not wearing a shirt, and I'm joking.
Jordan is hopefully wearing pants. Maybe we'll find out. Hey! Honestly,
you're lucky I'm not wearing a tank top today. Normally, I'm rocking the tanks.
Wow, you were on first as well, so that would have been a bit like, oh dear God, what have I agreed to here? What have I agreed to?
Say, no thanks, pass.
Oh no, I've got a bad connection.
yeah, a little bit, yeah. So I might as well just be honest right from the off. I couldn't find a copy of this to legally watch it. I didn't watch a copy to illegally watch it either. I'm just saying I couldn't find a copy. I wasn't going to pay 40 quid. And I must explain, because Bill keeps pulling me up on this. When I say quid, that's just a colloquialism for pound. Like dollars and bucks for the Americans. That's all it is. This film was directed by, Rob Bowman, who went on to direct some really great films. You know, The X-Files, Reign of Fire. Then he did Electra, so, you know, he dipped a little bit towards the end. But I've not been able to watch a copy of it. I've watched clips. I've read the synopsis. So, really, this is going to be a genuine episode where, you know, the guys are trying to give me to watch it. But, I mean, I'm not paying that much for it. I'm sorry. I'm really not.
So you went on to direct good things. I'd say he started with the good thing with this one.
This is what you're arguing. Would you... Don or Jordan, whoever, would you like to sum up the plot of the film?
Go ahead.
I'll do it. Because I know Jordan is going to gush every time I mention things. Basic plot. Mitchell is a California kid, and his rich, awesome parents tell him that trip to Australia. And Mitchell goes, all right, cool. We get the waves. No, his parents say. They say, you're going to Cincinnati to stay with, I believe it's his aunt and uncle.
Yes.
Yes. In the middle of winter, which is death to a rollerblading Californian. So Mitchell is shipped off to the lovely, lovely sights of Cincinnati in the middle of the winter. He's doesn't have anybody. He's got Seth Green as a cousin.
Yep.
That's rough. Yeah. And he's got some awesome red hair in that movie.
It's the most 90s haircut you'll see.
So throughout the when he's introduced into school, Mitchell, he becomes visually attracted to this girl.
Just visually attracted, not personality.
Well,
not
body, I don't think there's much else to it. I think it's because enough. Brittany Powell is hot, and Mitchell, Shane McDermott is hot. So, and then everybody wants to boat him in the movie. Plot is getting really huge. So Mitchell is stuck in Cincinnati. He's tried to be friendly with this girl, and she has a brother who's a jock named Jack.
He's in his mid-30s playing high school teenager.
And Jack and his buddies, one of them played by the fabulous Jack Black, and then also Jacob Vargas of, I believe, The Rock, Crimson Tide. I have it written down. I'll get to that. So these jocks are picking on him. Mitchell is just trying to keep his head above water. And the preps start to become involved. And it's all decided by the world's greatest rollerblade stunt going down the devil's backbone. Yeah.
Last kid that went down, it didn't even make it. Can't even walk anymore.
I've got. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to throw in something so quintessentially British straight away, but there's a series that was done over here in I think the 70s. I think called Some Mothers Do Have Them. It's called, and there's a scene in that where the character who's Frank Spencer does what is arguably the best, I'll say British, just not to offend. I'm joking, I don't care. Just the best, like, rollerblading, like, stunt you've ever seen. He essentially clings onto the back of a car, ducks under a truck, and it was all done for real. So, I mean, but sorry, carry on. Just
no, no, you're fine. Already. Airborne.
I'll see if I can send you a clip later on.
That doesn't even make top 10 stunts in this movie.
Airborne was done in 1992, 93 when it was made, released. So the stunts are real. The rollerblade
CGI.
Team rollerblade.
Missed those days.
Team rollerblade assisted with the studs. The studs can't be replicated now because everything would be CGI. The stunts are fucking awesome for this little itty bitty movie. Yeah, they're awesome. And some of them actually.
You said rollerblade partook in the stunt coordination, and they got their logo all over everything.
Oh yeah,
they got it on the helmets and elbow pads and knee pads, and yeah, it's everywhere in the movie.
Yeah, you definitely want to go out and buy Team Rollerblade stuff after this movie because they make it look amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know how it is. Everyone's got to be safe. So every time they're wearing anything, they got to have all the gear. You know, we didn't wear any of that in the 90s, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, when you're going down Devil's Backbone, you put the helmet on, man. You're going to die. Just walking down it, you'll die, man.
I was going to save this for later, but I think I'm just going to bring it up now. I want to know where in Cincinnati, Ohio is this, I don't know, 20-minute rollerblading hill that you can go down? I don't think it's that elevated over there.
I don't think so either. I don't think my internet research along with you, I mean, they kind of give you ideas of where they filmed around Cincinnati in the area. I think they went around one of the stadiums, football stadium maybe, or something like that.
They make it look like the rolling hills of San Francisco.
I was
going to say, if you're going to set a skateboarding film, a rollerblading film anyway, surely it's got to be like San Francisco. You could even have the famous bullet sequence, but without a car. It's a guy in rollerblades. That'd be pretty cool.
They just moved San Francisco to Cincinnati for this. It's fine.
So for a film about inline skating, I've got to ask you both, either of you, or have either of you been what you call a skater? I was going to say skater boy, but I didn't want to go to Avril Lavigne there. So that's an old joke, isn't it? Yeah.
So I will basically tell you, I am Mitchell Goosen without the surfing, because I play hockey, I rollerbladed, I still rollerblade now. Like, I did all of this just without all the pads.
I cannot skate. I don't have the balance for hockey, for rollerblading, roller skating even. So I am in awe when I see somebody chugging. I had a good laugh. I just watched No Hard Feelings. And Jennifer Lawrence's character, because when she loses her car, she has to use rollerblades and she has to go uphill to get to this spot. And all I can think of is, ouch. But Jordan has the nickname California because he would rollerblade past my house that I live in when he would go to work where he used to work when he lived in the same small town here.
I thought you were going to say last week.
You never know. I hope not. I hope not. I hope you're not back down here working at Kenny's, Jordan.
No, I live too far away to rollerblade to work now. So
yes. But yeah, he would rollerblade past my house and I would say, all right, hey, California.
It was great. Everywhere, you know, anywhere in that town, I could get anywhere on rollerblades in 15 minutes. So it was great. Who needs a car?
So when did you both see the film?
That's actually one of the first things I put on my notes. I'll steal it here. 93, 94. I don't remember when it came out on VHS. Children, that's video. It's a tape that you put into a big player, just in case your listeners don't know what that is.
I don't think we've got that. I mean, I think my main audience is like 25 to 5, so I think we're okay. But I know there are a few below that, so.
It had the possibility of eating up in your player, and to open it up, and it would
having to twiddle it back together. Oh god, yes. That was a skill.
93, 94 is when we rented it in our house, and then it just became a staple. After that, we would either rent it or the TBS Superstation would play it on the weekends, and we would always find a way to watch it. So.
I did not see it until probably 97, 98 on like a TBS rewatch on like a Saturday afternoon. And I saw him playing hockey and I'm like, what is this? And sure enough, I found it after that. And then after, I think the first time me and you met, the first time I went to your house, Don, I think you had the posters still hanging up.
So. I have the poster now. I just got the poster recently. So yeah. The last time he was here... I have the big artwork in my living room, thanks to my wife, which is incredible.
And the other thing is you bought this for me on DVD as a wedding gift.
As a wedding gift. That's on my notes.
Second copy.
See, that's the thing. Do you know how thoughtful that is for another bloke to buy you that? That is thoughtful. Really thoughtful. I like that.
His over-the-top trucker hat that he's wearing right now is a gift for me.
as long as it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't taking the piss out of you. It wasn't like, if tonight's a flop, Jordan, pop this in. There you go.
It's comfort right there.
I thought I'd be able to find it on YouTube because all the films are on there, but it's not on. And I was thinking, well, this doesn't make any sense. So I looked on eBay trying to find it cheap there, and it was like, 36 upwards of like 40 quid, and I'm like, I can't pay that. Like, that's obscene.
That's the crazy thing about this movie is that it's become, unless you know about it or you stumble across it, Jordan, there's not much history behind it. I mean, yeah, I got the poster, and you know, Warner's released the DVD and that, but there's no soundtrack released for it. The soundtrack is awesome. Early 90s jams.
good enough when they're doing the impromptu first date at the botanical gardens is phenomenal. Yep.
it's funny you mentioned that because one of my questions was this could completely ruin the episode, but never mind. Do you think, or the premise of it at least, do you think it's less a defend it type of film and more a film that just isn't remembered? Or like, because honestly, I've got to be honest, if I went around my friends and a few of them really like films, they wouldn't have heard of this. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone talk about this. I mean, it might be because it's clearly a very American film.
Internet research, which is Wikipedia and IMDb.
The classics.
showed that the movie made money. It had like a budget of $1.5 million.
2.6.
Just over.
Get it right, Don.
So it's not, yeah, sorry, asshole.
2.6 budget, 2.9 box office domestic.
So it made money, but it wasn't a monster hit. So that's usually, unless it's got like a major star, like a Harrison Ford, where it can be reevaluated, like a Blade Runner. Blade Runner is really a top of the list. Airborne is not that high.
I don't like it. Sorry.
Donnie, on that same vein. So if they were to swap out Shane McDermott for Josh Brolin's, you know, thrash him. If they put him in this role, would this movie have been remembered? The bigger
Josh
star.
Josh Brolin is a bigger actor. Yes.
Shane McDermott didn't do anything after this.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, it was Josh Brolin. I don't think he was big yet.
Not yet.
Johnny Depp probably would have taken it. I'm trying to think of somebody who was still coming of age. I've got, apologies
if my dates are slightly wrong, because I think he might have already passed away at this point, but apologies if he had. What about a River Phoenix? Is that a bit too? Is he a bit too dramatic? Do you think? I don't. I'm not.
Oh my god!
Or Keanu Reeves? Or Keanu Reeves?
Keanu would have been. I don't know. Keanu would have gone. Keanu was already taken next level. River. River Phoenix would have been incredible in this.
So River Phoenix died on
Halloween
of 93, so yeah. This movie would have come out before then,
just before, yeah,
but he would have been able to film it in time. But I mean, if you take a look back though, you got Christian Slater in Gleaming the Cube, which is a similar movie, and I mean that didn't do any of the business that I mean neither this one, but I mean we're not remembering Gleaming the Cube very well either, so
I think for like this extreme sort of sports, I think the movies that seem to get remembered are the movies about cycling and running. it seems like the movies about runners are more remembered, like a Prefontaine, whatever. I don't even think those are Forrest very Gump. Forrest Gump, lots of running. That's a lot of Oscars and nostalgia. There's no nostalgia in Airborne. It is just awesome. Almost all the time.
Matthew Broderick, do you think? Or a bit too old?
Ooh, I don't think he would have done this one. This would have been above him. Beneath him. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean,
above him. Whoa.
Yeah.
War Games Matthew Broderick could have done
that. Hey, he did Godzilla. You know what? It really?
That's true.
Let's be honest, you know. He played with worms. Let's get it. Let's sort it out right now. The worm guy. Nick Totopoulos. Totopoulos, everyone gets wrong.
Huh. I'm trying to think of who could in the 90s. Maybe Leonardo DiCaprio could have stumbled across because I think this was the same year as What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
There's a decent cast in there, isn't there? Like, I was surprised when I looked. Oh, there's some, you know, up and I mean, how up and coming were some of the? And I know Seth Green had done a couple of films, hadn't he? Jack Black, and I don't Black. Know, one of his first, I think, as well. So.
This is like his first or second role. Yeah. So,
Brittany Powell was just getting into the acting game. This was Shane McDermott's only movie,
Chris Conrad, who plays Jack in this, ended up going on in what he was the Patriot in. He was in a TV series called Patriot, and then I think he did some like NCIS stuff or something along those lines. Kept him working for a while.
Edie McClurg is not an up-and-coming actress, but she's
a righteous dude.
Two of the funniest movies come out of the 80s, Ferris Bueller's Day Off as the principal's assistant, and then hysterical scene where she's the rep for the car rental. And Steve Martin has to trek. Have you seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it yet. No, I've got. Do you know what it is? I think I genuinely think, right, because I don't know about you guys, but like my dad growing up, he was like the influence of a lot of what I watched when I was younger. Now I watched a lot of American stuff in terms of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Law and Orders, Cold Case, all sorts of stuff like that when I was a slightly older kid. When you, like, looking back, if it wasn't something he liked, it didn't go on. So I have big gaps in that. I've never seen a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, never seen a Power Rangers film. I've never seen, I don't consider this a massive loss, to be fair, but I've never seen a lot of quintessentially American films. I've seen, like, your Home Alones and all that kind of thing, but I've never seen, like, I've never seen any John Candy films, you know, like, I've never seen, like, Uncle Buck or anything like that. You know, all these films that, like, you don't, growing up in England, they don't really, not everyone, of course, but they don't really come into your sphere. People don't say, oh, watch this or watch that. Whereas, like, I think if you grow up in America or, like, Canada or whatever, there's a lot of films that you, like, instinctively, you like, a part of what you watch. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think, I don't know how it works over there.
Well, for example, it's kind of like British films. So films that I would consider, if you haven't seen, that it's like, well, how have you never seen that? It's like The Great Escape. Have you ever seen that before?
Yes, I've seen that.
Thank God for that. Jordan, have you seen it before?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. Thank God for that. But then it's like, there's more films that are like similar to that that kind of don't seem to make that translate, like that don't seem to get across the pond, if as Bill would put it. So I think it's that kind of thing. But anyway, sorry, Don, what were you saying? So
I'm going to try to remember here. But
you need to watch 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's all. Yes. Sorry, I don't mean to interject.
Quintessential dad movie.
Yeah, I've got to watch that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually a legit good film.
But growing up in the 80s when cable was booming, a lot of these movies played on there, like an Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, Automobiles. USA played them a lot. I know TNT, TBS did that. So I think for me, probably for some, for Jordan, also the premium channels, but getting bigger in the 80s. I know it's changed now with the streaming services and everything is there, except for Airborne. Sorry. but that's where a lot of these, like Airborne, you could almost guarantee that it would be playing once a month on TBS. You would just have to get lucky because you would have to be looking at a guide or you'd have to be on the channel to be watching it. So it's a different kind of thing because you had to wait for it.
Okay. Mitchell's first day in Cincinnati when he brings his surfboard onto the airplane with him.
Yep. And it's cold as a motherfucker.
And he has the horrible line. They're like, "Well, where are you going to use that?" You know, because he's bumping into everything. And he goes, "Oh, it's my American Express card. I don't go anywhere without it."
And how? This is an important plot point in the movie. How does Mitchell? Sorry, I was going to call him Jordan. Jordan, how does Mitchell forget his beloved, excuse me.
Because he's going to Cincinnati in January. That's why. When's he going to use them?
Does he not think that summer only exists in California?
No, but
that brain dead?
I can't imagine that they have that much drastic change of a winter from what we have. Like, we can't rollerblade until June, right?
Right.
Like, maybe May. So I can see why he'd forget him.
You would think about his happiness.
But this awesome movie makes it seem like he's only gone for like 2 weeks and then the snow's all melted.
He's not. It may have been from all the hits that he took because we don't see him fall in the movie.
Yeah, so we do. He falls all the time. What are you talking about?
But he doesn't get hurt. He's.
No.
I think he's taking a lot of brain damage like Rocky. He doesn't really.
He just start going, Adrian.
He might have some skates. CTE. I mean, Jack takes a pretty good run at him from full ice and lays him out pretty good. And then later, Blaine does the same thing while rollerblading. So, I mean, he's taken two pretty big hits.
Concussions, what they'd be called now. He'd be out of the game. He'd be toast.
Yeah,
we don't put up with that stuff anymore over here.
I never really noticed this, or maybe I didn't pay attention before. Did you see the license plate on Wiley's car where it says, "My other car is a Zamboni"? I never noticed that until just now. Also, who's running the school newspaper or the yearbook when somebody like Snake is voted most likely to eat his young?
I mean, is that not a joke on the fact he's called Snake? Don't snakes sometimes eat their young? Or am I?
I have no idea. No. But do you think he'd be the big baddie of this movie? And he's like one of the nicest guys ever.
Yeah, he is. He's the actual leader.
He's not even a part of either group. It doesn't make any sense why he just joins the jocks.
Because the preps are assholes.
So what are preps again? What are preps? SWATs? Nerds?
So the preppies are the ones that have all the money and they
all the money, all the
access to all the good sports stuff. And
okay,
they're taken care of by their parents and.
But daddy bought me a pony.
I get to drive daddy's car. Yeah.
Right. Okay. See, I always makes me laugh with the whole yearbook thing, because it gets used in like every single it gets used in every film. Like it might be a murder, it might be like anything, and they're like, "Oh, look at the yearbook." And it's like, like that. We don't have yearbooks here. Like, it's not something we have. I don't know why. It's just genuinely not. I'm trying not to, insult my own country. But I mean, I don't know why they don't have them. But it's just not like not something we have at all. Like the idea of this book with everyone's faces in it. Like, you might get like a school photo at the end of the year, but in terms of that, no, not particularly.
You don't want to give that copy to a million people?
No.
We looked all looked like that year.
I know, but it's all like it's all a really like cringy.
Oh yeah.
Like it's bullshit awful. Things underneath them, like most likely to succeed. Yeah. And all these kind of, and you're just like, oh, God.
The yearbook is used to great efficiency, joke-wise, in Gross Point Blank, when they come to the reunion, the high school reunion, and the lady who's the overseer of all this, and she's got the yearbooks, and she got the yearbook pictures on the badges, so that everyone can see how they look.
See, and so Gross Point Blank was actually already on a Defending Yourself episode. So I've seen Gross Point Blank.
Oh, yes.
And I really enjoyed that, actually. I was really surprised.
Gross Point Blank is awesome. Alan Arkin, rest in peace, RIP. Dr. Oatman.
All right, Donnie, I got to ask you, since Sean, you haven't seen this yet, which daydream is your favorite daydream throughout the movie? Is it when Jack just comes running full blast and throws Mitchell through the window? Is it Alexis and all the girls daydreaming about Mitchell being topless in school? Or is it what Mitchell's daydreaming when he rides the wave and meets Pepe the Shark?
Oh, it's absolutely Pepe the Shark. I have it. It's individually one of my notes. Pepe the Shark. Very motivational.
So I don't know about you, Sean, but he sets up his surfboard on his bed and then rides waves on his bed.
That's awesome.
Is that what you Americans call it? Is it? What are you doing up there? Riding waves on my surfboard, man.
And talking to a fake shark. Shark named Pepe.
I hope that's what he's doing since he's got to share a room with Wiley, but I don't know.
Wiley is Seth Green.
Okay.
He comes up looking like the part of the Black Panther party in the very first scene too. He's got the black jean jacket and the beret and the sunglasses, circle sunglasses. Oh god! He's got the gloves.
He screams.
Just awful.
Screams 1990s. The rest of the movie, you could guess when was it, but when you see Seth Green and you know that. Just that look, it's bad. It dates the movie so much.
I'll tell you what, let's, because I know you, from what I've heard of your guys' podcast and the way you guys talk, you like to do like changes of films and little lists. So I'm going to throw in a little list, a little question, and I hope I haven't forgotten what I was going to ask in that spiel. No, I haven't. I was going to ask, so this is this. I don't do sections usually, but I think this would be quite fun. So welcome to the nominations for most 1990s character in the history of film. My nomination is, have you ever seen the film Small Soldiers?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Chrissy's boyfriend from that film is the most 90s character you've ever seen in your life. So that's my nominee. Who are your nominee? Your nominations?
I mean, it's hard to beat Seth Green in this. But I might also use Seth Green in Can't Hardly Wait.
I see. My favorite Seth Green film is Without a Paddle. I know it's a bit later, but I love that.
That's a decent little flick. A
soft spot for that film.
The most 90s looking person. For some reason, I'm thinking of like Jean-Claude Van Damme when he's the more full of himself one, the one who's doing all the splits, who's got his own aerobics studio and that's I think of like 90s like that. I was thinking Samurai Cop actually for you.
so for anyone younger who doesn't get Don's example, just imagine Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man in the third one when he starts dancing. It's that kind of change.
Yes.
Don's face was like disgust, like what?
But you're adding like tight lycra, like aerobics, like a wrestler. I would say like a wrestling outfit. Yeah, that's what he's working out in, doing the splits, a very Jean-Claude Van Damme thing.
So when you said Jean-Claude Van Damme, it made me think of Wesley Snipes and Demolition Man.
Oh, as a
very 90s outfit.
I was going to say Blade. I was going to say Blade.
Okay.
But or even the villain in Blade, what's his name?
Frost.
Steven Dorff. Yeah. Yeah. He's quite 90s, isn't he?
Yeah. No, I like his girlfriend.
The whole rave at the start. Oh,
his girlfriend with the white hair. She's very 90s. Very, very late 90s. When you get into more electro for you. So.
God, that's a good question, though.
All right, I have a question for you, since obviously you're English. I was just reading about Simon Pegg saying there will not be a fourth.
Oh,
there's not going. Sorry, there's not going to be a sequel to Shaun of the Dead, but he's talking a fourth Cornetto movie. So, what's your favorite Cornetto movie if you could pick?
Do you know what? This is a tough. So I didn't much care for the last one.
Okay.
I think it's okay, but it lost its way.
It's not the. It's definitely third.
It's not great.
See,
of the trilogy, if I had to only watch one. Oh, do you know what? I know how this is going to sound. I don't think there's
a wrong answer.
Shaun of the Dead is probably the best of the three. But I think Hot Fuzz is the better film. I don't know how that makes sense.
Oh,
but
makes
I would,
plenty of sense.
I would really struggle to like... I think Shaun of the Dead's good. I loved it when it came out. But watching it later on, it's still really, really good. But I don't know. Hot Fuzz seems to hit differently when you're older. You sympathize with it more. Like the whole scene where it's like, hello, Nicholas. How's the hand? And like that, like... When you work for businesses, that it really resonates with you, like that kind of. You want to take this higher. It's like Kenneth, it's that whole like I love every British actor, like Steve Coogan, Bill Nighy, Martin Freeman, like they're just all rolling. Peter Jackson plays the Santa who stabs him as well. Just
yes,
have I not done Hot Fuzz? Seriously, have I not done Hot Fuzz or any of them yet?
I do got to defend At World's End a little bit here, because as a standalone movie, it's pretty damn good.
It's good. It's good. It's
You watch it shortly after either of the other two, it takes a hard fall off the cliff.
Yes.
But if you just put that on randomly, it's really good.
No, I think it's similar to. I think it's similar to The Dark Knight Rises in that I love The Dark Knight Rises. I mean, it's not as good as Dark Knight.
No.
But I think I've always thought Batman Begins was okay. Dark Knight's just unbelievable. The Dark Knight Rises is all right. I really like it, but I think if you watch it after The Dark Knight, it pales in comparison. And yeah. I think a lot of people had issues with that one. It's a bit. Scrap that example. It's shit. A better example is Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. Right. Ooh. If you compare that, this is why I defend these films.
I will defend that as well. I like the ending setting up as John Connor is eternally fucked. I liked it when he peaked up. Didn't care for the movie as much because it's not going to be one or two. It's better than everything that's come after that.
It's true.
But I like that ending. I like that it's still John Connor can't get out of history's way.
I do think he was a bit of a soft choice for. I thought Nick Stahl was.
Yes.
I wouldn't say miscast, but I think what they were going for was like a softer John Connor. Obviously, he's not this great military leader, but the whole thing about it is like I don't know. He just doesn't quite like Claire Danes as Catherine Brewster was great. Like I loved
her.
She's a great
actress.
She is. Her arc in it was like fantastic.
Yeah,
Christiana Loken.
Yeah,
I never get that right.
Yeah,
who plays the TX or the Terminatrix as they tried to say, but everyone forgot that quickly. I think she is really good in it. Like she's sinister compared to some of the Terminators we've had since. With like, well, just that abominable. I mean, what the hell was what's her face doing in the last one? I can't remember it. The lass who was in, she was in The Martian. What's her name? Played a bionic one. Can't remember her name. Doesn't matter. Good actress. Terrible role.
I was up for Linda Hamilton being back. She was fine in the movie, but the rest of it was just shit.
Yeah.
Real shit. I mean, it was better than Genesis, but Genesis is so bad.
Well, I don't think it was better than Genesis. I'd put Genesis above. Dark Fate was horrific. Dark Fate was like
both of them, so I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the Blu-ray Terminator Genesis. I've got strange taste for that way. But and I've also got the director's uncut version Blu-ray of Terminator Salvation, which I'm reviewing soon with Carlo from the Movie Loot, because I think if you forget it's a Terminator film, it sounds really weird, but if you ignore everything around it, it's okay. I think just when it came out, everyone was really excited for it. It comes out and it's not the future war we remember. It's not the future war. There's no lasers. It's all in daytime. It looks more like Mad Max. And everyone was like, what in the hell is this? And then you add that in with like one of the worst trailers. Well, one of the best trailers. And then also one of the worst trailers after that, where they showed you that, spoilers, if you've been asleep since 2009, that Marcus Wright is a flipping... machine. That whole film, take John Connor out of it. I'm sorry, Christian Bale, but you're just doing a piss poor Batman impression all the way through it. If we stay the course, we are dead. We are all dead. I'm like, you'd be someone in the car, like, I'm supposed to follow this guy? Like, no thanks. Take him out of it, and it's a decent film. If it just followed Marcus, and like, you know, what's a human and what's a man? That's all right. But like, the whole... And the CGI Arnie, anyway, so.
Terminator Salvation gave us one of the greatest rants of all time with Christian Bale ripping down the lights.
Oh, John, I love that. Welcome to the set like this.
For you.
The ultimate method actor.
You and me are fucking done professionally after this. We're done after this. And that's why you dress like Pudlock. No, you're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. It doesn't fucking matter when you walk through the back of the scene. That's like this.
It's good to know that Christian Bale is a regular, just psycho like the rest of us. You know, we have our moments where, you know, we just tell somebody to fuck off because they stood in our...
At least he cares. Like, like, look at Tom Cruise.
I think there's a better way. But, yeah, Airborne is a great... Just a great 90 minutes of just turn your brain off and have some fun. Yes, it's dated soundtrack in some ways. The fashion, especially on Seth Green and his mop cut, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. The action done by Team Rollerblade, for real. The stunts are, when the stunts big and small with the stunts, is really good. Story's relatable because of, you know, just being in a new place, trying to figure out where you fit in. Of course, there's always going to be a hot woman who's going to be interested in with you if you come from California and you say you're a surfer. So I can't relate to that. I know Jordan can.
Those aren't dime a dozen. Apparently. Well,
I'm the horror movie guy, so I'm the weirdo in the corner. But yeah, I wouldn't tell you to spend $40 on Airborne.
A lot of money, though.
Maybe somebody out there's got to stream that motherfucker for you guys over there. So, across the pond. We'll fight for you. We'll get Tubi over there. Jordan and I are. We talk about Tubi as much as we can so we can get a sponsorship and maybe go worldwide. So, it hasn't worked yet.
Not yet.
Would you guys like to explain to the listeners, if there's any still left after my rants, where you guys are from and where they can find your socials, that kind of thing? If you're still on Twitter, because at this point, who knows? I think seems certain to crash and burn.
I am Don Milner. I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook. You could probably find me under my name for Facebook. Twitter, I'm under Wojoduke, W-O-J-O-D-U-K-E. You can find our website at I Seen It Pod, all spelled together, .org. You could find us on...
Oh, it's seen it. It's seen it as in a scene in a play.
I seen it. Yeah, it's the clever Jordans. It's all yeah. Jordan.
Well, and we got a Midwest saying that, like, you know, anytime anybody asks if you've seen a movie, everyone always just responds the same way. It's just, yeah, I seen it.
Yeah,
it's like, that doesn't make any sense, but sure, we like to say it. So, but yeah, Jordan gets all the credit on it. On Twitter at I seen it pod.
I seen it pod on there for however many minutes that it still may be around for Twitter.
But yeah, and the other thing that we always sign off with Don here is, you know, if we've given you any joy at all during our podcast or any of the shows that we've ever guested on, please go to hdsa.org. It's the Huntington's Disease of America, or Huntington's Disease Society of America. You know, with everything that Don's going through, you know, any help that you can educate yourself with, if you can donate at all, please do. You know, just like I said, just at the least educate yourself on this horrible disease. So
I'll tell you what,
I didn't know that. I will, it won't be a lot, it'll be maybe $20, something like that. I will donate the money from the last couple of months of the Patreon to the, if I'm able to give it to Huntington's of America, I will. If it's a more, if it's a UK based,
just do whatever. I will. Do whatever. Whatever you could do on it is greatly appreciated. Thank you. It's a motherfucker of a disease. So Jordan and I, you know, this is something that we've always done. Talking movies, but being able to share how much we love movies and how many different movies we do, whether it's one person or however many who says that they've listened to us and they enjoy just hearing us talk, that's where it's worth it. So
yeah absolutely. And I hope people have enjoyed listening to me crashing the party. But absolutely spot on. I can't follow that up with my links. Sorry. thank you to everyone for listening. Like the guy said, go over check out their podcast. If you're based, I don't know how charities work, bloody difference in countries, but go out and check that out. Is it Huntington's of America, did you say?
Yeah, Huntington's Disease Society of America.
Yeah.
Yep. HDSA.org.
Yeah. .org. Anyway, anywhere you can get that through, that's, you know, like I said, greatly appreciated. Love it. Thank you.
Make me cry. just on a personal note, guys, thank you very much for listening to me ramble on. But even when I'm mourning, it comes from a place of passion. I love films, like, right, or movies,
you can tell from just listening to you, you know.
And thank you for your very kind comments about mine and Bill's episodes, because that guy's such a good laugh.
I try to catch your show as much as I can. I don't listen to all of them because I'm unfamiliar with some of the movies, so I tend to avoid those ones.
I do the same, yeah.
I've really enjoyed all your series with Bill. That's always been fun. So
it's good to continue on. We've got the Quaid-a-thon. So, but I'm trying to go a bit darker with Bill in terms of, like, because we do films that are quite interesting to talk about, like, quite fun. But I mean, I'm tempted to just be like, I wanted to do Frequency with him, but I thought that might be a bit too dark. But we'll see. We'll
give him Frailty. See if he's into that.
Well, yeah. Well, this is what I mean. Well, because Bill was asking me about what Frequency was about and about Pandorum, because they're all Dennis Quaid films, right? And he said, oh, yeah, but do those films have, like, bits in it where we could still have joke? I was like, no. No, they do not. There's death and all sorts. He was like, oh, okay.
But no, I own Pandorum, and I've never seen it because I rented it from Redbox and forgot that I had it. So I've kept it. I've paid way too much money for this movie that I've never seen before.
I saw it in cinemas. I enjoyed it, or I remember enjoying it, but I don't know. You know, one of those films, you think if I watched it back now, would I be like, what were you thinking type thing? I hate when that happens.
I think Jordan has invested so much in Redbox, I think he should own a small share of it.
I don't know what Redbox is either. We got that
either.
It's a kiosk.
It's a kiosk video store where you could go up to it, press what's in, and you could bring it home for a night or two. Jordan, the dumbass, will keep some of these fucking movies, and they will cost him more $20? Than it would have.
So it charges you per day as long as you haven't returned it up to a certain point. Then you just own it. So I own a stack.
It's a polite way of saying you're a thief.
Yeah.
Or just fucking lazy.
Or lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, thanks for your time, guys. I've really enjoyed it. I know I do appreciate you giving up a couple of hours of your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Nice whenever. So thank you so much, Sean. Thank you. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. So thanks, guys. It's
been a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, don't be shy. Do not be shy. I'll be back to you, Don, because I want to check out, especially that more recent one that God made me do. That looks right up my street, that one. So
I think you would like it. It's if anything, it's interesting and it's fucking weird.
I'm in. Just before I go, Don, if you like weird, interesting, dark films,
I do
like, it's not an official side series, but all the episodes I do with Sarah from Weird Horizon on my podcast, we do like really dark and depressing stuff because it suits both of us. We did Old's due to come out. We just did Life, the 2017 film, which I loved, which is like in space with this weird alien. That was pretty cool. So we've done all these like quite depressing films. So,
okay.
Because we enjoy talking about them. But
which one is this?
Was that like the symbiote thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I have
which one
that.
Is that called? Life?
Life 2017. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal. I always get Sarah. No. Rebecca Ferguson?
Yeah.
I always accidentally say Sarah Ferguson. Who's a. Anyway. Always. Yeah, I know. But yeah. No, that Life 20 seems is worth watching because it's homage-y to Alien, but I just thought it was decent. I really enjoyed it. So, and an actual good use of CGI for once, which is saying something. But no, anyway, I'll let you guys go because I'll be here for hours. But no, cheers, guys, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. I'll keep it tight.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the vlog.
Welcome to Film Vloggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Mackles doing our intro?
I want me gold!
That's great. It's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben. Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the vlog, shall we?